Welcome back to the show. This is your host, David Yanez, and welcome to Midwatch with the Rev. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in, and thank you for being a part of my broadcast here today. And I hope you're on our website, because we have a new thing we're doing. Hopefully, I'm trying to stay faithful to it, trying to make sure it's done every day. And I know we're all busy. Praise God. And I'm trying to do something new, and it's just sometimes we try to implement something and keep it running. You got to keep up with things, and if you have workers, you got to keep up with them. And if you have yourself, well, you know, you're the only one to keep up with yourself, unless you got a good wife that keeps up with you for you. And I do have that. I do. Praise God. But the main thing I have is I have to make sure I schedule everything and put everything down. If it's on the calendar, If it's on the show site or anything like that, I do not forget, and I make sure that it's done. So the new thing we're doing is every time we have a guest, I am going to try, and y'all hold me to this. Email me, david@revmedianetwork.com. Don't call me because I probably won't pick up, but email me. Email me and let me know if I have something outdated on the site. But the new thing where, you know, like, come on, David, just tell us the new thing. Okay, the new thing is this. Every time we have a guest, I'm going to have a little bit of their bio on there, like a paragraph or two, and a link to their website, a picture of the guest, the date that they're going to be on there, and, of course, a link to the show. And last week we started that with Pastor Vargas. Then we continued with Pastor Marty that was on here, and now tonight this morning we're going to have Bishop Mike Renteria. He's on the website. He's on the revmedianetwork.com website, which is our website for the whole broadcasting station. But they're also on the Midwatch with the Rev site. Hey, do y'all have Facebook? Because you know everybody seems to have Facebook. I have Facebook with Midwatch the Rev, and I've had over, I would say, oh my goodness, if I was to count. Just to count this list of stuff I have right here, and I'm not even going to attempt to count, but I have had well over 100 and something guests this last year, and no one's liked Midwatch on Facebook. I think I have 6 or 7 people, so I'm going to start telling my guests, when you come through the website and you come through our shows, and we're taking the time to talk about your ministry, hey, wink, wink, we're promoting you, dude. Can you go and like my Facebook? Just how hard is that going to be? I'm going to have to start telling guests, okay, be sure to go to my website. But, you know, on the real side of this, I don't do a good job of promoting that stuff. I told you, I'm not really a social media guy. I try to, and my wife kind of is like, that's not really you, and why are you doing that? Because I try to create blogs. I try to create other things like that, and it just wasn't me. I'm a doer and a worker. I'm not a talker of what I want to do. Praise God. I am a doer and a worker in faith. I step forward and do it. And I'm okay. This is my viewpoint, and this is nothing to do with faith in general, and this is nothing to do with my next guest coming up on this as well. But I would tell you this. This is my viewpoint. A lot of people, and I'm gonna have to stay sitting down here. I may start standing up and preaching to you, and then it becomes faith. Praise God, and then you're gonna get something. But no, I want to tell you this: every time that I broadcast and stuff, I don't depend on the social media networks. I don't depend on who I Twittered, who I Facebooked. I don't depend on any of that, because none of that is gonna build longevity in my ministry. Longevity is built by faith. Longevity, I guess I am preaching. Longevity is built by doing the will of God. God can do more for you in 1 minute than Twitter can do all your life. And I know it's a part of our entire social media makeup that we have, but I want to tell you this, my friends. It also gives people a place to hide. And hear me out before you finish. Okay, I'm standing up. I'm officially standing up in my chair. And I'm naturally stand up when I start talking like this. And all right, we're going to go into the preaching part. And I'm just playing. Don't leave. We want you to stay here. We have a very special guest this next half hour, Miguel Renteria. I call him Pastor Mike. He likes to go by Miguel, so we'll go by Miguel Renteria. We'll be with us at 11:35. I'll be having him on. Can you tell that I'm just my language is not really that great sometimes? I went to radio school years ago when I was 18. I barely passed, I think. But I say too many things. I know I shared this last time, like will be and Purdy and y'all, when I'm supposed to be using different words. I can't help it where I grew up. I'm trying to get the hood out of me. Praise God. But anyway, the social network creates a place for people to express their opinions. Have you seen the wars on Facebook? Praise God about that. Have you seen the wars on Facebook? Just in my little circle, I had to shut down some people and get them out because they went crazy on me as well. The things that they can spread and people believe what is written in front of them, you got to just snip that in the bud. You see, social media has created a voice for cowards to live sometimes. And I'm sorry, I'm saying it like it is, but it's true. It is so true. Come and say something to me in front of me if you have something to say that's wrong. Come and talk to me directly. Hey, the Spirit is doing this, not me. I had a whole different thing put together. But I am saying, it's easy to talk about someone behind their back. What does the Bible say? Don't start gossiping. Don't start spending time with backbiters. It is easy to say things to people. Then you don't see them in front of your face. But come and talk to a person like you're supposed to talk, as some people would say, mano to mano. But this is what I'm saying. The social media is good because there's ways you can use it in a great and positive way. But it shouldn't be your dependency. But it has opened the doors for people. Have you ever looked at, I'm calling out myself on this. Have you ever looked at all the little things that people say, like on, I go to Yahoo a few times a day here and there just to get news, and Google, probably prefer Yahoo on that. And it has some news and stuff in there that I read. But then you have the comments underneath. What do you think? And people put remarks and stuff. It is open an arena of words. Now get with me. Follow with me. It is open an arena of words. Now what does the Bible say about words? The words that proceed out of my mouth shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish those things which I want, and it shall prosper in the things I send it. It has opened an arena of words. And every preacher that is a faith preacher will tell you this, that your world, your personal world that is yours, is shaped. It is shaped by the words that come out of your mouth and the words that you put on this internet is going to shape your world. And you open a portal to say, and I'm not going to go crazy on you, I promise, but you open up an area where you can voice and not be held accountable for what you say, and you can hurt people. And the social media network has, and I'm my viewpoint, there's some good points to it, but like anyone that knows, you can use it for good or you can use it for bad. Why do I want to know if you're eating a hamburger at Five Guys? How exciting for you. Are you going to bring me a hamburger? Now, I do want a hamburger today, and I might go get one. And that's probably why that popped in. I really don't think that one was a spirit. But the truth is this, my friends. God will shape your life by what you spend your time in as well. It has made people lazy, the social media network. How many people just sit in front of the computer? How many people just sit in bed with their phones on, TVs running, and they're just on Facebook, on another place, on the internet, making a comment, laughing and giggling by themselves? Okay, I promise you, I don't have my social media network places open. I do use them, and that's all I'm going to say on that. Just give me a minute. Let me get some water. Now, you can tell that I came to preach. Praise God. Now I'm playing with you. I really, really appreciate everyone that's been a part of my show this last year. Do you know, I looked up the stats the other day, and just to do the yearly stats, where we're at, 1,200,000 people have come through the websites. In fact, I was working on my giving letter for the yearly giving letter. I am not a ministry that goes out there and pushes to give. I'm not. I am not a ministry that sends you monthly things every month to remind you to give. This is my heart, and I want you to hear this. This is how I do it, and it may not be the best thing to do, and it may not be the wisest thing to do, but this is what I do. I depend on God. I don't depend on a mailing list. I don't depend on an email list. I don't depend on a contribution list. I do send a yearly report to everybody. I do send out three months or so. I'll create a website with all the newsletters, but that's also even changed because now I made one website, and it's called The Rev Now. I don't even know what it's called. You can tell how often that I use the thing. It's supposed to be there for you to update your. But I create a whole new site that just has paragraph, has some, a little bit of information, some paragraphs, some pictures of just the going-ons of the everyday ministry as we do certain events and stuff. As I feel led, I put on there. And that's my extent that I do in keeping people informed. I used to send out a newsletter every month, and those years have passed for me. I haven't done that. The thing is, I see myself get more busier, that I just come to a point where I don't depend on the way man says to do this thing. Praise God. I don't depend on the ideas of man and, well, this worked last year, this is how everyone else is doing it, and this is how you're supposed to do it. I don't depend on that. My wife is special because she just knows that I believe in God, and she trusts God that I'm hearing God when I'm doing the things I'm doing. And, you know, there's food on our table. Our bills are paid. Our ministry is moving forward. And that's just God's, my dependency on God, not man. Now, I thank God, and I tell everybody in the newsletter, this is what happened this year. And just real short snapshots of things, miracles, missions, everything that we're doing, from the publishing all the way to the broadcasting to visiting events and interviewing people this last year. I just leave that in God's hands when I send that letter out. Do you know I've never gotten a check back or an email back saying thanks for the letter or anything like that? But I've gotten phone calls, and people have called and encouraged me and prayed with me. And that's all I need, because if I have God and I have your prayers, I will never have a need. Do you hear me? You know, there was something that I don't have my book with me. I do not have my book with me. Can you believe that? Do I have an extra one of these books? I'm going to take a break in a minute. I don't think I have an extra God's General's book of the Revivalist, but I read this thing from Charles Finney that made me just want to cry when I was reading it. And I don't have it with me today. I should have written that down or did something with it. And I'll paraphrase it. Would you accept that? I'm going to go ahead and paraphrase it for you. This is what Charles Finney said, and he said this back in the days that that people were praying. He was having this event. It was a powerful event. It was, and miracles were happening. But he was working with another minister. I think his name was Brady, and the Brady would be the one that would go in front of him, and he would go to the places, and he would pray. He would go and he would pray, and he would pray for the city that Charles was coming to. He'd sometimes go out there a month before, 3 months before, however the Spirit directed him. He went there and he prayed. And all he did was pray. That's all he did was pray. He prayed and he prayed and he prayed and he prayed. Are you hearing me? He prayed. That's all he did. Now, when Charles would come in, the church meeting would be up and he'd be preaching and preaching. And in one of these meetings, he finally noticed that he wasn't around, that Mr. Brady was not around. He looked for him and looked for him, and he asked one of the young men, "Have you seen Brady?" And the young man that helps with the conferences said, "He's praying. He was praying when I went by his house, and when I went by his house, he was praying so much that he could not move. He was laid out on the floor with his hands stretched forward and his feet pointing out. He goes, I thought he was dead. But I went and checked on him, and I heard him moaning and groaning in front of God. So I left the room." Charles stood quiet and thought, well, should I go and interrupt this guy? Should I go over there and say, hey, you know, we've been planning this for 3 months, and you're not even in the service? Should I be doing that? And then he decided to walk over there, and as he was walking over there, he started realizing that the miracles that were happening. I mean, and Charles was preaching, people were running to the altar to get saved. When he would preach in those days, he was there, I think, 2 weeks, He would see miracles in the move of God. He was a revivalist. He brought the Spirit of God in a place. In fact, in restaurants where Charles would preach, in the era that he preached, people would just line up to hear him. But not only that, but the workplaces were shut down for his services. And the calendar itself of America, now get this, we are a Christian nation. The calendar of itself was organized to facilitate the house of God. Can we hear an amen to that? Everything that was done in the day was purposed after God's will and power. In the places that you would say you would go to Denny's, every table would be a conversation of God. Say you were getting your hair cut, there was conversations of the Holy Spirit and how he moved the night before. Everywhere you would go in the cities in his era, this is his mark that he left. He left a house of faith behind for them. And he would go back there and he would look and find out, try and decide, what should he go interrupt Brady and tell him to come in. Before he would get to his house, he'd turn himself around and go back to the event to continue for his next sermon. And the reason he thought, he goes, this is the will of God, that Brady would pray, and not only pray, but that Brady will moan and groan in prayer. And he wrote a little comment. I'm going to do my best to paraphrase it. I promise you this. I will read it again next Tuesday if you want to get the full version of it. But he said, I have never seen a man sweat blood. I've never seen a man sweat blood. But I have seen a man pray till his nose bleed. I've never seen anyone die in praying, but I've seen someone in pain and groaned and prayed till they sweated to exhaustion. This I seen in a man named Brady. And I seen revival come out of his prayers. He goes, where is the time when we pray and truly come to God to pray? My friends, I don't know about you, and I paraphrase that the best I can, but I think that I missed a little bit of it, but you get the gist of it. You get it, right? It is prayer. When have you prayed countless hours where you sweated? Now, in Houston, that happens a lot in the summer, and you don't have to go countless hours. You just start praying, and I'm sure down in the South Texas you can as well, and a few other places like Atlanta, you're going to get that in New York in the summer. But praying hours upon hours upon hours until your body ached, until your mind and your spirit were so unified that your body just, no matter how much pain it took, it still prayed. I am determined this year to see miracles beyond miracles in everything I do. And I said that to the Lord. And do you want to know what the Lord told to me? Then pray without ceasing. And this is what God put in my spirit when he told me that. He said, pray without ceasing. In other words, pray without stopping. Pray. Well, it hasn't changed. Pray. Well, I don't know if I want to make it. Pray. Well, I don't know if I can do that. Pray. Well, I don't know what's going to happen. Pray. Pray without ceasing. When has the church looked up and said, no matter what, I'm going to pray. I'm not going to yield to circumstances and life situations. I'm going to go forward and I'm going to do something wonderful for you, Lord. I'm going to pray. You know, the other day I was reading, and God put in my heart, before I go and put another thing in, God said, the effectual, fervent prayers of a righteous man availeth much. Oh, the effectual, fervent prayers of a righteous man availeth much. Every time I think of Pastor George Vargas, and I told you this last week on the show and even on the Midwatch show that we record on Skype. You haven't seen that yet. We're going to launch pretty soon. We're getting the videos going. Pastor George will be the first one on our show, on the TV show. I think of a man of prayer. and people come to me and they haven't seen me for quite some time, and they look and they ask what, you know, what's going on and how I've been, or that people try to describe me. Let me give you an example. Someone really, like I said, internet, before there was Facebook and blogging and all this stuff, we just had email. And I sent out a blast early in my email education, and I didn't realize that I CC'd all these people, and some people that got the thing, it was wrong. And this guy was very rude that we're trying to work a radio relationship with. He was very rude, and AMR Radio, don't ever go to his site. I'll tell you who it is, and if he has a problem, he can call me. But he was very rude, and he went over there, and he sent a blast out to everyone that I sent, calling me a moron, an idiot, a fool. And, you know, like I said, the internet has created a bunch of cowards that hide behind things and hide behind the computer. And this guy said all these mean things about it. I was just disappointed that I sent this email out. I just didn't know how to. You can't take it once you send it out, but it was nothing bad. It was just something about the ministry coming up, and I wanted people to start understanding it. And he rattled on about my non-education of the internet and stuff. And I had several people, not one, but several people email him back angry and telling him, you don't know who you're messing with. This is a man of God that prays. I know David for a long time, and this man knows how to pray. He's a good-hearted man, and you do not want to mess with him. And do you know this guy? He just said, okay, whatever. That's pretty much what his email said in response to them, and I never heard from him again. People know if you pray. People know if you're a prayer. We used to say this back in the time, in the 90s, if you're a prayer warrior. I remember being on the mess decks, and they said, call our prayer warriors right now. I was watching, I think, TBN at the time. I had one guy beside me look at me, what is a prayer warrior? And of course, that opened that nice discussion on the mess decks and talked about prayer. Again, my friends, prayer, prayer, prayer. When do you stop praying? When do you stop? I am in a continued prayer with God almost every day in my heart, in my life. I try and stay in a constant prayer with God. Whether it's when I'm waking up or when I'm going to bed, from start to stop, it's like I always stay in the prayer attitude with God. So, I just want to tell you that kind of stuff. It's scaring you right now, I know. I'm sorry. I apologize. Hey, our address is Revelation Ministries, P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas, 77325. Again, the address is Revelation Ministries, P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas, 77325. And we're excited, like I was saying earlier, that we're starting the Midwatch TV. George Vargas will be the first guest. And then I believe after today, me and Pastor Mike Renteria are going to go and record a Skype interview as well. We're gonna put on this some information to help encourage you. This ministry, this entire ministry that I do, and everything that I do, I feel led to be an encourager to the brethren. Praise God. An encourager to those that need it. This year, I'm believing for some awesome things to happen. I'm believing that we're going to see several different churches open up to our healing services and our ministry, because once you bring us in, and I say us, me and the Holy Ghost, once you bring us in, and you will see God's hand on the things that we're doing. You will see God's hands and miracles. And I'm excited because today we're going to talk about some miracles that happened in India. Now, last week when I had Pastor George on, there were some things that he shared that I didn't even remember happening. Like I said, there was so much movement and activity on this mission trip that I don't even know everything that happened. He shared an incident that I didn't even remember about a gentleman in the street that had a crooked leg that we're going to leave, and I seen him on the street. I went and prayed for him, and that his leg was made straight that minute, and he walked away. I remember him walking away, but see, I don't remember everything. I don't remember everything that happened out there, but I know it was all good. Praise God. And that we persevered and our bodies were tired. And good Lord, when we got to Bubba Nisswa, which is one of the most, probably one of the main cities that we actually had, is the capital of Orissa, but it's also one of the major cities from where we were at. We're in towns and little villages and huts and all this other stuff. But when we got there, man, we raided Domino's. We seen a Domino's. We're like, pull the car over. The people looked at us like we're crazy. I'm like, pull the vehicle over. There's a Domino. Don't you see it? I'm getting me a pepperoni and cheese. And the first thing I ask him, is that real pepperoni? Don't give me no chicken. Nope, I don't want turkey. Nope. Is it real pepperoni? And they're like, yes, sir, it's real. And it's funny. And we ate that, and we were, like, satisfied, and we had a couple of Pepsis. And then we went to our hotel room, and then the next afternoon, we had plenty of time. We're like, hey, well, let's order another pizza, but this time let's get it from Domino's. And Domino's and Pizza Hut were night and day from each other in India. The Pizza Hut was very much like here in the U.S., and we ordered two large pizzas between my two pastor friends, and we thought that the team was going to eat with us, the other three members of the team. I'm from India, and they didn't eat with us, and we had two large pizzas we had to finish. It was like, no problem. It was no problem. We were so hungry. And I think that was one of the great miracles, is having Domino's and Pizza Hut finally. You know, I've been going there for 5 years, people. You finally put a Pizza Hut and a Domino's where I can refresh myself. Oh, Lord. God is good. Anyway, my friends, we'll be back in just a few minutes. We're going to go to our break. And when you hear this show, it's called One Impact. And they're my five-minute segment that I have. If I have 5 minutes, I always give it to them. And because you hear them throughout the website. But this is Miss Terry Squire. She's started a new program. She's been on radio for many years. And I kind of pleaded with her to come back out for at least 5 more minutes every week and just record me something so I can have on my station, because she is so awesome. She has a great ministry, and I know that she's going to bless your heart, and I believe that God is going to touch you and minister you. So it's basically like a mini program within our program. We're launching her show, and today it's called Forgiving Christians, and I hope you're blessed with it. We'll be right back in just a minute. God bless you. 5 minutes.
One Impact Live. There is one God. You are one person. You have one impact. Join us today to change the world. This is your life. What are you going to do with it?
It's so easy to get caught up in somebody else's troubles. We say we want to pray for them, and we'll bring it up even in prayer group. But what we really want to do is share the gossip of someone else's misfortune. Welcome to One Impact Live. I'm Terry Squires, and you've just tuned in to the 5-minute radio show that will impact your life and the lives around you. One Impact Live is all about the power of one. There is one true God. You are one person, and you have one impact. Do you know that by sharing your faith to one person, you can reach thousands? Not long ago, my husband surprised me with the opportunity to hear a very well-known author and speaker at a conference we were attending. I was so excited, and I made sure we got there on time. But within 5 minutes of this person's talk, I looked at my husband and I whispered, "I'm ready to go." I was so disappointed. You see, this world-known speaker opened the talk by bashing another well-known Christian who had made a mistake and fell miserably. And what surprised me more is that the audience, they all clapped. I was shocked. You know, the problem with Christians today is that we say one thing and do another. We talk about forgiveness and we say that we do, but do we really? We are so quick to shoot our wounded and pour buckets of salt on the wound. It's no wonder non-believers turn from Christianity and call us hypocrites. We need to change the way we think, what we do, and what we say. Jesus says in Matthew 5:37, "Let your yes be yes and your no be no, because anything else comes from the evil one. If we say we're going to forgive somebody, we need to forgive them. If we say, yes, I will pray for you, we need to pray for that person. There is only one person that I know that has ever lived a life free of sin, and his name is Jesus. And we must remember that. We all mess up. We all say things we regret. We all make big mistakes. But it's only by God's mercy, love, and grace through his son Jesus that we are forgiven. God never promised our life would be easy here. In fact, he said we'd face many trials in James 1, 2 through 4. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face many trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its race so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. I love the last part of this verse because it's so important. Listen to these words again, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Sometimes we're not ready for what God has to give us. We think we are, and then we get caught up in what the world has to offer us. We're not mature and we're not complete, and that's when we fall on our faces. Stay strong in what God has started in your life. Persevere, even if you've had a setback, even if you've messed up big time. Go to the one that can turn your life around and get back on his path to do what you were called to do, to be complete. He is the only one you should worry about what he thinks. Don't let others tell you you're not good enough. God has a plan and a purpose for your life, and he's waiting for you. This is your day to stand up, brush off all your troubles, and get going. If you have any comments, shoot me an email at www.oneimpactbible.com. I'm Terry Squires, and until next time, change a life and make your one impact.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, David Yanis, and you're listening to Midwatch with the Rev. We appreciate you taking the time, and I told you that was actually a good word by Mrs. Terry Squires. And like I said, I'm trying to get her to where she's helping other people through my broadcast in that five-minute window that I have between my first segment and my second segment, while I get my guest on the line, that she's able to be a blessing and able to minister to you. Anyway, my friends, we're back on the air, and I finally got a hold of Mr. Mike Renteria, Bishop Mike Renteria. Welcome to the show, Pastor. How are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful, and it's a pleasure to be here with you today and talking to all the internet people out there.
Amen. Were you listening to the show earlier? Did you hear any of the comments that we're making? Because I know some of our
guys... No, I was not able to. I just came into the house.
Oh, okay. Praise God. Well, we got you here live on the air with us, and we're excited. And for those that don't know, and you know I've been promoting this and letting you know this, that Pastor Bishop Mike went with me to India, and... He went with me to Kenya and India, and that's what we're gonna talk about today. And whatever God leads on that, we're just gonna be.
Amen.
We're gonna see what God does. Now, Bishop, what was the most impacting thing that you've seen in India?
Well, you know, I mean, I saw a lot of things, but one of the things that blessed me the most was a miracle that happened in Kenya with a little girl who was deaf and mute. And the team prayed for her, and she received her hearing. And then her mom was brought to the meeting, because the mom was not in the meeting. And one of the leaders spoke mama into the little girl's ear, and the little girl said mama, and her mother fainted right on the spot.
Amen.
That to me was, oh my God, just... You know, just seeing the mother hearing the voice of her little girl that she had never heard before was an incredible experience in my spirit and in my heart.
Amen. Were you surprised about some of the things out there in the mission field?
Was I surprised?
Yeah, with anything out there. Were you surprised with the conditions or everything?
Yes. I mean, I had ministered in Mexico and just not too far into Mexico, and this was my first time that we actually... went to Kenya and India. Kenya was was okay in terms of American culture. India was a an eye-awakening experience.
we don't got to cover going to the restroom, but let's just cover some other things.
Oh, I'm telling you, India was incredible in terms of it was just incredible. My wife still keeps on telling, asking me, tell me more, and it's like. I tell her, well, just hold on, because it hasn't set in yet.
what was the response when you finally got home? I mean, I know that you were excited to be home and stuff, but what was some of the response at your church, just hearing the testimonies?
Oh, the church was very excited. They were happy to see me back. We talked about the testimonies, and, you know, I just commend our church people. We have a church under 100. We don't have a big church. But they provided for all the finances for me to go, you know, and I came back and I had $40 in my pocket. So, I mean, to me, that was a great miracle.
Amen.
And the Holy Spirit had told me not to do any benefits, that he was going to move on the people and that they were going to obey his voice. So I was blessed with that, and they were excited. We talked a little bit about our next mission trip, and I've had... Brother, I've had at least 5 people come up to me already and say, Pastor, we are putting money on the side so that when you get ready to go on the mission trips, we're going to give you a good offering. So they're already preparing in terms of finances to help us go again. So blessed be the Lord.
Amen. You just go and tell them to go ahead and give now while the giving's in their heart. Put it in a special account.
Yes.
And that way it's there, and then they can always add to it. And
yes.
That may be something you might want to implement at your church, that, you know, this anytime you want to just write a check to missions and just put it in there, we're going to put that in a special account just for missions. And
Just last night a brother said to me, I'm going to give you so much in missions. I said, look, just put on their missions. And that's exactly what I said. We're going to put it in a special account, and that's going to stay there. So praise God. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So what are some other testimonies that you would like to share to the audience that you've seen? Because I was telling them, like, when I had George on the air with us last week, Pastor George,
yes, uh-huh.
And he had some things that happened that I was a part of, but I don't remember. So don't think I know everything that happened in your eyes, in your ears. It's like the person that sees the gorilla that goes across the NBA court. Everybody's
exactly.
Seen them. Some of them didn't see them.
Yeah.
So share with us some things that you thought that were just highlights for you.
Well, you know, man, where can I start? You know, the hunger that I saw in Kenya and in India concerning the saints of the Most High God, they are so hungry for the word. I know that in Kenya we preach, almost as the same as we preach here in the United States. But in India, we had to, tone it down a little bit. And I remember that the Holy Spirit spoke to me to preach on John 3:16, and I thought, Lord, I'm going to obey you. And I just preached on John 3:16, and that was to me the most powerful teaching that I did. It was simple, at the same time it was very profound, and the God's people are just so hungry for the Holy Spirit, and I was so impressed by that, and I was reminded what Jesus said: "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled."
Amen, amen. And tell us about some of the people that you prayed for, or that you seen get prayed for. And were you amazed at how the healing movement moved in India?
Yes, I was totally amazed because you know, here in the States, you got to pray maybe a little bit more, take a little bit more time with some of God's people. In India, we just followed the leading of the Holy Spirit, which God spoke to you, and we were just laying hands on people, like a 5-second, laying on of the hands, and I saw a lot of babies, newborn babies, delivered from demonic spirits. I saw people heal from back pains and knee pains. We were leaving one church one night, and on our way to the vehicle, this man stopped me and he said, can you pray for me? And you know, you're tired, you're worn out, you've been ministering all day. And I said, yes, I'll pray for you. I said, what is your problem? He said, I had a lot of trouble with my knee. So I just said, Lord, in Jesus' name, heal this man from his knee. And his pain was gone instantly. Mm. Now, this is going to the vehicle. I'm yes. tired, I'm worn out, I haven't eaten anything, you know. And the power of God just moved incredibly. It was just incredible.
Amen. I think, Pastor, you I think you likened me to an Energizer bunny.
Yeah, it keeps on going and going and going.
It's like the last day I finally just wind all the way down, and he's like, I knew you weren't a robot. I thought you were a robot.
Yeah, there you go. We were talking to some church people from another church last night at the place we were eating at after service. And they asked me, we heard you went to Kenya and India, and they said, how was it? And we began to talk about it, and tears came to their eyes, and their hearts were so touched. And they said, wow, you know, the sister said to us, wow, sometimes we forget about missions. And I said, I know, and we must not forget about missions, because that is the great commission, to go into the whole world and preach the gospel to all, preach and baptize in the name of the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And I think that what happens to us is, and I say us, including myself, is that we tend to forget that that's what the gospel is for, is to go preach to the whole, to all the nations of the world.
Amen. Amen. Right now, I see, and I remember I texted you this the other day, that unless they go where we've gone and seen what we've seen, it's hard to explain to them. When we tell them the testimonies,
yes.
we tell them the conditions, but until you see it and your heart breaks, you come back with a hunger. You know, I got that hunger 20,
yes.
I got that hunger 20 years ago.
And, yes.
But I know that it's just hard to explain it. I mean, we don't have enough time. I can't paint a prettier picture. I can't give you a better description, but missions are so important to God.
Yes.
And it takes people to send. You know, the Bible says, how can they hear unless they be sent? You know, and it's good that I'm hearing the good reports of your church wanted to jump in and start supporting for the next one, because I see us taking several trips a year. And the team has been put together, and God's constantly adding to that. And I had a brother the other day, Bishop, that he's broadcasts on Saturday nights. His name is I believe it's Mike Zachman. Yes, Mike Zachman, and it's called The Point Live. Saturday nights he broadcasts on our station now, but he's all over the radio, all over the country, and also on Sirius and XM Radio, which is hard to get into. And you know what he does for 2 hours? He prays. That's all he does. He just prays. It's not some great talk show host with great guests and stuff like that. And people are calling from all over the nation and the world, saying they're being healed while he's praying.
That is crazy. Wow.
And do you know that we were setting up his software and stuff. I was setting up my software through his server, talking to him, we're just, you know, just going through the normal process of putting someone on the air with us. And while we're talking and stuff, and he's asking questions and all these questions about Rev Media Network and my plans, and he just stopped. Okay, we got to get off the radio thing for just a minute. Let's talk on something else. I'm like, sure. He goes, God just told me in my heart that we're going to be ministering around the world together. I go, amen. I knew that the first minute I talked to you. I told him that.
Yes.
I go, but I can't tell you that. I go, God's got to tell you, because I already know.
Exactly.
When I talked to you on the phone, when you said I'm a man of prayer, I'm reaching people around the world through my broadcast, can I be on your station? After that, I just knew right then, I go, we'll be ministering. And he goes to Brazil, and he has a large ministry, 16,000 people in Brazil in a week that they minister to.
Wow.
And he does that work. He does other works. And he's traveled to over 57 countries in his life. And, you know, but he normally travels with someone. So it's never been like his event. And I'm like, well, that's fine. I go, my heart is to build my events, and because I know how to build it. And not only that, it's because I'm taking those that are not with a big organization, taking those that are by themselves and just need someone to say, hey, I know you're gifted. Come on, let's do it.
Yeah.
And I'm inspiring them to build something. And that's why I like working with the locals and people that may not be part of a big organization. Now, I'll go for a big organization. That's not an issue. But my heart is to build things like with you, Pastor Mike, and with exactly. and with Pastor George, that we can create a team that is out there constantly and just constantly every month, one of us or one of the 24 people or somewhere reaching the gospel. Into a nation, and then we just gear up and we go when our schedule permits us to go and God allows us to go, then we go mm-hmm. and we plug in. So it's amazing. So God added him to the team already.
Amen.
It's growing.
Amen. Let me tell you, I felt a witness in my spirit when you were talking,
amen.
And I agree with you. It just felt right, and bless the Lord.
Amen. And for those that don't know, Pastor Bishop Mike, and I call you Bishop Mike. Do you like whether we call you Bishop McGill?
I'd rather you just call me brother. The church people call me Bishop because my wife is also a pastor, but you can just call me brother. That'd be fine.
Brother Mike, he actually has a prophetic gift. He has a gift of he hears God. He has the words of knowledge. And just take a couple of minutes just to tell them a little bit about yourself and your ministry and how mean you got to meet, because that was just a unique way as well.
I got saved in 1982. I was ready to commit suicide, addicted to drugs, and I tell God's people that I know what it is to be demon-possessed, and they just don't believe me, but my wife believes me, because she saw me demon-possessed. Delivered by the power of the Holy Spirit. In 1986, I joined this church. This went from an 800 member church to a 100 member church by the Holy Spirit. The pastor there heard from the Lord. They ordained me to the ministry. I became the Spanish minister. Served the church there for 12 years, and then moved to my hometown, which is Edinburgh. And we've been pastoring here for 13. God uses me in prophetic. I'm not a prophet. But I do flow in prophetic word and word of knowledge and, of course, the gift of healing. And that's how God uses me, and I know that God has gifted me, and I know it's him. He uses me in that capacity, and we've been pastoring here in the valley for almost 13, going on 14 years.
Mm, that's amazing. And then me and him, we met. Tell him how that happened, and we ended up
meeting. Oh, yes. 26 years ago, when they ordained me to the ministry, the prophet said to me, "You're going to pastor for a season, and then Father is going to call you to the nations." Well, that was 26 years ago. So a year before I met you, the Holy Spirit said to me, "Can you believe that I can send you to Kenya?" And I said, "Lord, help my unbelief." That's what I said. Help my unbelief. And then a few months after that, or almost a year, he said to me, "I'm going to send you with a group of men. You're not going by yourself." He said to me, "I don't want you to do anything. I'm going to bring you this connection." So I said, "Lord, I'm going to rest in your spirit." Well, lo and behold, a couple of months later, this young man calls me, named Dr. David Yanez, on the phone, and says to me, "I saw your website on the internet, and I'm going over there to South Texas. Can we meet?" And I said, "I guess we could." And, of course, Brother David, you know that you get a lot of phone calls from a lot of people.
Yes, you do.
And a lot of people send you emails.
Yes, you do.
You know, and so I said, "Well, Lord," I said, "if this is of you, then you're going to speak to me." So we met at Denny's, and as soon as I saw Brother David, as soon as I saw him, we began to talk. My spirit, I just knew how the Lord just spoke to me. This is a man of God. And, of course, David unloaded on me, I don't know how much information there. I was drinking coffee.
I talk quick.
he just went on and on about stuff, and then he said to me, "You want to go to India?" And I said, "India? No." I said, I don't think so, because the Holy Spirit has said to me, "Kenya." So I said, "No, I don't know about India." And then later on, of course, Kenya came up, and I said, "Yes, I do want to go." And then, of course, now we're talking to you on this beautiful radio station that you have on the internet. So it was a preordained divine meeting that the Father brought us together. And I bless the Lord that he brought you to me, because you've been a blessing to me, and I love you much, and your wife, and your kids, and your ministry, and it's just been wonderful, and I'm so blessed.
Amen. Now someone also told you that there would be three people that they would bring into your life, correct? And then
yes, Prophet, thank you for, yes, Prophet told me in 98, 99, we moved to 99, I think, or 2000, that the Lord was going to bring me three people into my life, and the first one was going to open some doors, the second one was going to open a few doors, but the third one was going to usher me into the nation's ministry that had been prophesied to me, and that's exactly how it happened. I met some other pastors, and some doors were open, but this door here, the one that the Holy Spirit opened through you, Brother David, is the door that has ushered my ministry into the nations, which had been prophesied 26 years ago.
Mm, that's amazing.
So we're right on. I mean, we're right. The Holy Spirit is right on target with this, with Father's will. So I'm so blessed about that.
Amen. And this last, it's amazing because this year is going to be a phenomenal year. Bishop's one of the gentlemen that I've been sharing with you, that he even, when I was preaching at his church at one of the services last year, that he just seen that 2013 was going to be a banner year for us, if you want to use that word, that just,
yeah,
that phenomenally, financially and just the ministry just be launching further. And he got several words and several words of encouragement for me, even during the trip, and just sharing that, you know, something's happening. That's how, every time I look,
yeah,
at, every time you look at Bishop, he'll just be shaking his head, smiling. The Spirit is talking to me. And oh, you know,
well, not all the time.
No, not all the time, but most of the time, he just, I would crack up, like, and I look at him, and I got to the point when I was out there. We just worked it. I mean, we just knew it. Just God's Spirit would just work through all of us,
and
it's like we started all preaching at like the services in India at the first couple of services, but then we start breaking it down to, you know, I feel you got it this day. I feel you got it this day, and we kind of left it to that, to what the Spirit would say at that minute or that day, to let the other one know that they're going to preach. And I just come in and I would just do the miracle parts. When they got to that, I get them to the point, and I just in 5-10 minutes I'd get them, you know, worked up in their faith where they would be ready to receive the miracles. But it was after the word was preached, and that's very important that you realize that the miracles didn't happen until we preached the word, and it's very important for that to happen. Now, when you got back and you start ministering, now this happened to me, I was kind of like, oh, it's a different way that we're used in the U.S. and then overseas. You want to share on that a little bit?
Yes, it's when I let me just share this real quick.
Sure,
when we were in Kenya, talking about how the Lord used the team, Brother Pastor George and you and me, how He uses. In one of the services in Kenya, Pastor George preached a teaching directly inspired by the Holy Spirit. The Lord spoke to you what had happened, and I saw I think you saw a breakthrough. Remind me about if I'm wrong. I think you saw a breakthrough, and then I heard that the prince of that area had been brought down.
Yes, yes.
And remember that service?
Yes,
and I remember that all three of us, even though we didn't know that George was going to preach a divine message, we didn't know that God was going to speak to you or speak to me. After the service, all three of us got together, and we began to share what God had done, and that was incredible. He used all three of us, and He spoke to us in different ways, but it confirmed what the Holy Spirit was doing there in Kenya.
Amen. And then we
beautiful corporate anointing.
Absolutely. It was neat that each of us worked in each other's gifts as well.
Yes, yes.
Because I know that...
Yes,
the healing gift was basically imparted where you just go out there and y'all were doing the owls for me, the lions. Y'all just jumped in the lions, and then I jumped in to help y'all. But I would keep encouraging them and stuff while y'all would go lay hands. And the same anointing that I would go out and lay hands on was y'all were doing that through your hands as well.
Yes, yes. It was, I just loved it because sometimes, you know, we as ministers get so used to just working by ourselves, you know, or leaders from the church, but it's good to work with other ministries in this corporate anointing, in this team, and I like to use the word team, in this team anointing, because in a team, you know, the quarterback needs the blockers as much as the blockers need the quarterback as much as, you know, it's a team.
Amen.
And that's what I appreciated about what the Holy Spirit was doing, or is doing, and at this time with us, is that he's teaching us to work as a team. If the team loses, if one person loses, the whole team loses. If one person wins, then the whole team wins. So, bless
Amen.
Be the Lord.
Amen. And I noticed that out there, it was like we were just going and going, and all we did was think about God's work while we were there. We missed our families, but we thought about God's work. But I knew it was time to come back when the cares of the world, in my mind, when the curls of the world were coming in more stronger than my ministering thoughts were there. So I knew it was time to come back, and it happened to be the last day or two that we were there.
Yes.
So it's like, I'm like, okay, this was just the right time of amount of time, and maybe a day or two long here and there, but you know, it worked out. And
it worked out.
Yes. Now, how did your church respond to your preaching when you came back?
Well, when I came back, it's really taken me about a month to feel, I don't want to use the word normal, but I guess getting back into the swing. Now, I've been preaching since we got back in ministry, but it felt just about a week ago, and it came to my mind, I think it was January the 20th, and I thought, wow, we got back on about the 18th or the 19th of December. And it's taken me that long I guess the word is readjust, I don't know. But I know that that there's a difference in my preaching, and there's a difference in the, a church member put it this way, he said, Pastor, he said, not that you weren't anointed before, but he said, we sense so much more light coming from your teachings. And Amen. I said, well, bless the Lord. It's just the Holy
Amen.
Spirit, you
Amen.
Know, because he's the one that does the work. You know?
Amen. And I told you before we went out there, I said, you're going to come back changed. You're going to come back.
Yeah.
Your ministry is going to go another notch up. You're going to be more excited. Not that you weren't excited, but once you go there, like I said, you can't, unless you go there, it's just hard to grasp what God is doing and to see how God used you out there. And you see just the potential of what he can do here in the States. And that excites me the most is the same movement that was out there can happen here. It can. And you just have to put your heart into it and just trust God and ask for direction. But Pastor, before we go, share to everybody your website information.
Our website is www.kingdomfaithchurch.org. www.kingdomfaithchurch.org. Now, there's another Kingdom Faith Church in Britain, so make sure it's USA.
Yes, please send all gifts to the one in the U.S. in the Valley, please.
And ours is a lot smaller anyway, so you'll recognize it. www.kingdomfaithchurch.org.
Pastor, would you pray
all information is there.
Amen. Would you pray for everybody right now?
Yes. Father, in Jesus' name, I release the anointing of the power of your Holy Spirit, and I decree that every person who is listening to the voice to this radio station, I decree a special anointing of awareness concerning missions and concerning the Great Commission. We speak this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother, for being a part of the show. I'll give you a call in just a few minutes. I'm going to finish up the show, and then I'll be right back giving you a
call. Well, thank you. It was my pleasure.
Amen. God bless. Thanks again.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Amen. That was Pastor Bishop Mike Miguel Renteria, and we're excited to have him on the air with us, and we're just going to believe God that he's going to do great things in his ministry as well. He was faithful to go with this crazy young man, David Yanez, here, just coming in. He didn't know me from anyone, and he trusted his spirit that God was sending him a good friend and a person that might be able to be a blessing to his life. And over several months of me going back out there, the whole year, I think I looked at our schedule from last year when I was doing the year end, closing out the ministry for the year, and I noticed that I was out there in the valley at least three or four times. And I know four of those times I was with Mike. So almost all those times, I think I preached at his church three times last year, and they were a blessing to me and a blessing to missions. But he did the right thing and making sure God just guided him throughout all these years, and he waited, and God did something amazing for his life and amazing for his ministry. So you can't ever wonder where, why, and when. You just got to worry about praying, my friends, and trusting God that he's going to do some great things for you. We appreciate your listening. Again, let's give you his website one more time before we go. It is kingdomfaithchurch.org. www.thebridgeorg.org. God bless you, friends. We'll catch you next time. I want to thank my guest, Pastor Mike Renteria, for being a part of our broadcast today. God bless you. We'll see you next time on The Midwatch. Remember, write me, P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas, 77325. I love you. Catch you next time on The Midwatch.
The views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this station, this show, or its hosts.